Joy for Troy, but what does that mean for the rest of the roster? We'll talk about that. And in part one of our two-part preseason evaluation, we'll look at the backcourt for the Grizzlies. All of that and maybe some more. You are Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily podcast on the Memphis Grizzlies. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
My name is Peter Edmiston, and welcome to the Monday edition of Locked On Grizzlies. We are so close to the regular season. It's almost here, ladies and gentlemen. 48 hours or so away if you are a Grizzly fan from watching the Grizzlies and the Timberwolves tip things off in FedEx Forum on Wednesday night. And of course, around the league, things get started tomorrow with the ring ceremony in Cleveland, competing with the World Series, Game 1, Cubs and Indians. My God, good luck getting a hotel room within 50 miles of downtown Cleveland tomorrow. Grizzly fans don't probably need to worry too much about that because there were some big doings over the weekend. Lots of stuff going on, and we're going to talk about it over the next few minutes, so stick with me. We have to start with a true Cinderella story coming out of Grizzly camp. I mean, this was one that I did not see coming, at least not at the beginning of training camp. But as camp wore on and Troy Williams continued to play really good basketball, better basketball than probably he or anyone else expected, lo and behold, the Grizzlies were put in a very difficult position. Do they hang on to him at the expense of another contract? Or do they let him go knowing that with the performances that he's put on, it is almost certain that he would be picked up very quickly by some other team, and Grizzlies might have another Hassan Whiteside on their hands where you let a talent go that's in your camp and just right there for you, and you let him go and turns into somebody else's treasure. Grizzlies deciding that they did not want to take that risk based on what they had seen from Troy Williams, and word has it that he will be kept. Now, this has not been made official as of yet. The Grizzlies have made some cuts over the weekend. They cut Jakar Sampson, whose presence we didn't even have a chance to talk about because it's happened so quickly over the weekend. They cut Wayne Selden, and they cut DJ Stephens, much to the chagrin of a big group of Grizzly fans who'd really fallen in love with Stephens' athletic ability. A lot of Tiger fans, too, University of Memphis fans in the area that wanted to see a former Tiger make the team. Unfortunately for DJ, the shooting isn't quite where it needs to be. The age is working against him. The fact that he's, mid-20s, you kind of feel like the development process is pretty much done at that stage. There aren't too many guys who develop a whole lot further there. I mean, they may modify their games a little bit, but you don't see typically a whole lot of growth from that point on. And I just don't know what position he was going to play at the NBA level. It's unfortunate for DJ and for a lot of folks out there. And it's really unfortunate for the dunk contest and for fans of high flying. But I would imagine that he'll be back in Iowa and maybe something will happen. Maybe his development will continue and the Grizzlies or somebody else will take a look at him. I hope he ends up making a roster. He's a great guy. But it just is not quite there for him at this point. The Jakar Sampson thing, before we get back to the Troy Williams, the Grizzlies, for funsies, I guess, decided over the weekend to bring in a couple guys, Matt Costello and Kellen Dunham, who we talked about on Friday's pod, bringing them in. But then Friday afternoon, Kellen Dunham was cut to bring in Jakar Sampson, who was cut the next day as well. I don't know. I will always have fond memories of the Kellen Dunham era in Memphis. Did you get your jersey? Did Kellen Dunham even come to Memphis? Did he talk to anyone in Memphis? Did he make any kind of arrangements? Was that even a thought? I really want to know. I want an oral history written, or I want some discussion about what exactly happened with Kellen Dunham, a guy who was not drafted out of Butler. He presumably gets a phone call to tell him or to see if he wants to be signed by the Grizzlies. He gets signed, and then he gets cut. I don't even know if he made the trip. I don't know what the point of that was. I don't know. Did the Grizzlies not think Jakar Sampson would be out there? I really don't know. You know what? I don't know. But it's fun. Maybe they're just screwing with Kellen Dunham. Just maybe it's like a joke. Or a bet. So he was 24-hour Grizzly. And Jakar Sampson, similarly, 24-hour Grizzly. Maybe could have been done to create a designated player spot. I don't know. Word coming out of Grizzly camp is that the Grizzlies will send Matt Costello down to Iowa, at least, you know, as part of their designated player. I would assume that he's not going to be assigned there with a roster spot, so he will be assigned as a designated player after he will have been cut. He has not yet been cut, so that would be cut to bring you down to 16, and then you would have the one cut left that would have to get you to 15. And if you are not cutting Troy Williams, and the Grizzlies are not, then you have to cut somebody else. And odds very, very high that that cut is going to be Jordan Adams, based in part on logic, but also on a tweet that Vince Carter sent out, or a Instagram message, some social media, something that Vince sent out, thanking the players who got cut for their service, and, you know, talking about how much he appreciated having them on the team. And among those who were listed, among those screen names listed, was Jordan Adams. So that is the likelihood is that he will be gone. But that post was deleted early Sunday morning. So there's no evidence of that at this point. And nothing has been official from the Grizzlies. Perhaps, I think it could be something as simple as that they just wanted to be able to possibly shop him around a little bit. Maybe there's somebody out there who would give the Grizzlies some kind of future second round pick, or just something with the tiniest shred of value for Jordan Adams. Maybe they were looking for something like that before they cut him, but otherwise, or maybe they just want to break the news themselves. I'm not sure. But that does seem like, based on what we've seen, that that's going to be the case. We talked about it last week, and ultimately, you know, My call was to keep Troy Williams. I agree with the decision. I think the odds are very good that what Troy Williams gives you this year will exceed anything Jordan Adams will ever give you at any point. And if it doesn't, and if Jordan Adams goes somewhere else and is picked up, and he continues his career and does really well, then you just have to chalk that up to one of those things. Bad luck. You know, Jordan Adams is on that list of bad Grizzly draft picks, but if you look around those bad Grizzly draft picks, they haven't really succeeded elsewhere. The Grizzlies have made their mistakes, but they typically haven't been mistakes that other people have picked up and done a whole lot with them. It just tends to be players that haven't worked out, whether it's because they're just not very good or because they've been injured or whatever. That is, in my guess, what's going to happen with Jordan Adams. If it doesn't, then it doesn't. But you've got a 6'7", 210-pound guy who is a three, who has shown the ability to hit threes at a level that I think has even surprised him at this point. But he has done it, and he's done it, you know, pretty well in preseason. He's a really tough competitor. Guy gets after it. He's versatile. He's shown flashes of good defensive ability on top of the ability to play and defend those multiple positions. You have a wing spot. You have a three spot right now that you've got serious questions about Chandler Parsons, although he is back in practice at some level and apparently has not had any issue with the knee. That, according to Tim McMahon of ESPN, who has a good relationship with Chandler Parsons, established for years back from when he was with the Mavericks. So I would certainly trust the info. Chandler Parsons apparently texting Tim McMahon saying the knee has not had any kind of problem when he's been in practice. That's very good news for Grizzly fans. Perhaps he will be able to join the team sooner rather than later and play a little bit. But with the uncertainty and the fact that Chandler Parsons, you know, hasn't ever really completed a full regular season, if you look back at his history, even when he has been reasonably healthy, he played in 76 games is the most that he's played in. But that was his second year. Since then, 74, 66, and 61 games. So that would be, on average, missing, you know, right around 16 or so games. So you need to have somebody else back there that can play that three spot, plus Vince Carter. You know, he's I don't have to tell you, he's getting on up there in age a little bit, so you need some youth there. All those things kind of combine to make having Troy Williams, who, you know, came aboard and was a shrewd pickup by the Grizzlies front office. He really is a godsend in many respects. Can't let him go. And they won't. They'll keep him. Pretty remarkable story. 52% from the field in preseason. You know, one of the leading scorers around the league. Played more minutes for the Grizzlies than anybody else in preseason. And really shored up some of the otherwise bad lineups that we saw in preseason action. Now, I got a question on Twitter asking about how much of the rotation in the regular season will Troy Williams see? What kind of rotation minutes will he play, if any? And it's a good question because obviously the regular season is going to be quite a bit different. I would answer that question just by saying it all depends on Chandler Parsons. If Parsons can play, then chances are you won't see very much of Troy Williams in the regular season on a regular basis. But if not, then he's going to have to soak up some of those minutes. I still don't think he's going to be a starter or anything like that, and I don't think he's going to play starter minutes. But without Chandler Parsons out there, I think there's a real good chance you could see him 20 or 25 minutes. With Parsons, I think far, far fewer than that, if at all. Before we completely turn the page into the regular season, and I will give you my regular season wins total on a Wednesday, by the way, just so you know, in the Wednesday edition of the pod, that's going to kind of be the full-on preview with all that stuff. We'll do that and win predictions and all the official stuff at that point. But before we completely turn the page and get started there, I wanted to go back and evaluate player by player the team through the preseason. This will not include the players who were cut, even though their performance, in some cases, they were, you know, like guys like DJ Stephens played quite a few minutes. Wayne Seldon ended up playing quite a few minutes. So those guys that were cut, they certainly have tape and things that they can show other teams, but I'm not really worried about evaluating them for the Grizzlies because they're not on the team. This is Locked On Grizzlies, not Locked On the Iowa Energy. Maybe I'll do that podcast at some point. I doubt it, but anyway. So since this is Locked On Grizzlies, we're going to focus on the Grizzlies. We'll start with the wings and the guards today, and tomorrow we'll do the bigs. I want to just begin with the guy that we just got done talking about, Troy Williams. I mean, he gets an A++++, a guy that was an undrafted free agent who manages to make a 15-man roster on a team that had 15 guaranteed contracts, so the team had to cut and will have had to cut most likely Jordan Adams. So a guy making, you know, over $2 million, you had to cut him in order to keep this guy on a minimum deal. That's a heck of a job. Heck of a job by that guy. And we talked about it. 52% shooting from the field, 42% from three. You know, he was tremendous at the basket. Most of his shots came from behind the arc or at the basket. Very few mid-range, which is the kind of efficiency that you want and that leads to those kinds of shooting percentages that he had. And the Grizzlies as a team minimized the mid-range game more than they have in years past. So far in the preseason, that was one of the tweaks that we've seen. Troy Williams epitomized that. He was fantastic. So what a great story. Congratulations to him. Of course, he gets an A+. The other A+ is Mike Conley. Notwithstanding the final preseason performance at Minnesota where everyone was just screwing around and going through the motions, he was sensational. Everything you could possibly want in preseason. His scoring numbers, we talked about it last week. The scoring numbers were way up. Percentages were excellent. He looks fresh and vibrant. He looks healthy. He looks excited. He looks energized. He played a ton off the ball and did well. And the Grizzlies ran stuff for him off the ball. He even posted up. I was asking Mike about it, and he reminded me that there were, in fact, three different post-ups, and the Grizzlies scored on all three. he made it very clear, and he was not joking around, that that's what he wanted to remind people of, because he gets a little sick, I think, of the bigs going out and shooting threes, and so he wants to get in there and mix it up a little bit, so he can be versatile too. He had a great preseason, and I kind of want to use that to transition into the other point guards on the roster, Wade Baldwin and Andrew Harrison. And for both of those guys, Baldwin and Harrison, I think the best you can come up with is about a B-, because both of them have their issues still. I think each of them had moments where you were impressed, had a lot of flashes of very good play, but there were far too many mistakes and bad decisions, bad plays, bad offense, questionable defense, particularly in the case of Andrew Harrison. So those were things that have to be worked on. But I thought I would take a closer look using some of the lineup data from NBA Wowie, which, if you've not checked out, Evan does a great job on there. He's a Golden State fan, but he's put together a really cool site, NBAWowie.com. If you want to check out, if you're a daily fantasy player, for example, or if you just really get into the really nitpicky stuff, he does all the lineups. You can pick player. He just got so much information. It's really good. So using that site, I took a look at some various combinations that the Grizzlies rolled out during preseason to kind of tease out who was playing well, who wasn't, what the team did when certain guys were out there. And I thought it was interesting. And I'll give it to you in the context of this evaluation between Andrew Harrison and Wade Baldwin, which is one of the big storylines of the preseason. So let's first of all start with how they played with Mike Conley. Andrew Harrison played alongside Mike Conley for 45 possessions of the preseason. Wade Baldwin played alongside Conley 18 possessions. They never at any point played all three together, by the way, Harrison, Conley, and Baldwin, just so you know. So with the Harrison-Conley possessions, the team shot 42% from the field, 38% from three, had an offensive rating of 110.5 and a defensive rating of 120, which means they were a -9.5 net rating. Baldwin and Conley, as I mentioned, fewer possessions out there, so just not much to work with, really. But what we have to work with, team shot 56% from the field, but only 25% from three. However, the offensive rating was 129.6, and the defensive rating was 87.9, which is about a plus 42 versus the -9.5 for Harrison and Conley out there. Now, going even further in the point guard battle, to look at each guy individually without the others out there. So looking at Mike Conley without Harrison or Baldwin, looking at Andrew Harrison without Conley or Baldwin, and looking at Baldwin without Conley or Harrison, just to kind of see what each guy did as individually as they could. No surprise that Mike Conley was the best of the bunch. Team shot 45% when he was out there, 48% from three, which is really impressive, and he did most of that. Offensive rating 111.7, defensive rating 97.9, so that's plus 14 on those 94 possessions. 109 possessions for Andrew Harrison by himself. Team did shoot well, 46%, although not very well from three, 29% from three. Offensive rating 100.9, defensive rating 100.9, exactly the same, which is weird on those 109 possessions. But notable, particularly with Andrew Harrison, is that he played with Troy Williams a fair bit, and when you take Troy Williams out of his possessions, the numbers go through the floor. They absolutely plummet. Troy Williams really seemed to play better in those kinds of garbagey sort of groups. Harrison played well in those groups too. Troy Williams had some good numbers alongside Harrison and bailed him out statistically, I think, to some extent. Wade Baldwin's numbers, he had 163 possessions. Team shot 36%, though, with him out there, without Conley and Harrison. 26% from three. Offensive rating of 89.6. Yikes. But a defensive rating of 94.5. So it was really only a minus five, even though the offense was awful with just Baldwin out there. But that's reflective of Baldwin. I mean, after his 5 of 5 shooting in that first game, he fell apart completely. I mean, absolutely fell apart when it came to what he was doing out there. That's certainly a concern. The one thing that's positive is that it seems as though he was able to minimize the impact of that by playing some excellent defense. But Baldwin ends up shooting 35% individually on the preseason. And if you look at the shot chart that he put out there, he was 5 of 10 at the basket, which is not great. That's below league average. And then everywhere else on the floor, and I'm going to throw, he had one heave, which I'm just going to, that was behind the half court stripe. I'm not going to count that against him. And I don't think they should, honestly. That would be one of my statistical changes. 4 of 15 from anywhere outside of the restricted area. So he made 4 shots outside of the restricted area. That is Tony Allen-esque, I would say. And those numbers do kind of remind you of Tony Allen to some extent. And some of the shots reminded you of Tony Allen's shots because they were awful and clanked and air balls. Also, the fact that he only shot 65% from the free throw line is kind of a bad sign, because that tends to sort of correlate a little bit with your shooting ability. If you have, you know, good free throw shooting and you didn't shoot well from the field, then chances are there's some other explanation for it, or at least you can fall back on good shooting. But if you don't shoot well from the line, then maybe you're just not a very good shooter. In a point guard who, you know, gets the foul line a lot, but only goes, you know, 65%. And he got to the foul line 5 times a game. So, you know, that's good activity. He was drawing some veteran calls out there, I thought, you know, Wade really, he was drawing fouls and getting calls that the vets tend to get. Some of those, like, delay calls where, you know, they wait to see if the shot goes in, and if it doesn't, then they blow the whistle. He got a lot of those. So, you know, he was playing and getting treated a little bit like a vet, even though he was a rookie. He just wasn't making the free throws that followed along. You know, is there a winner in that race? I guess based on those lineup numbers that I was giving you, you know, even though the shooting numbers are worse, I still think Wade Baldwin edges out Andrew Harrison. I think Wade Baldwin was expected to, and I think he did, but it was close, closer than probably the Grizzlies expected or hoped. I think they would have hoped that Wade Baldwin was a little better in preseason, certainly based on what they saw in that first game. But he did enough, and I think he's going to hang on to that spot. James Ennis had a good preseason. I would give it a B+. He was really good early on, and then he tailed off a little bit, but he finishes with a shooting line of 41% from the field, 36% from three, 71% from the foul line in preseason. Was still one of the better plus-minus players for the Grizzlies throughout, and I think he will certainly play a role. He's one of Fizdale's favorites. He's got that established relationship with the guy. He's come in and worked extremely hard. He's going to have to play some minutes. He was penciled in as the starter if Chandler Parsons couldn't go. So you can expect that he'll start at the three if Chandler Parsons can't go on Wednesday. I think James Ennis is an NBA player. He is an NBA rotation player. He can play 15, 20 minutes for you, and you will be okay. I don't know that you want him to play 30 or 35 minutes, but he's got a diversity of skills that will help him. He's very versatile, can defend a lot of different positions, is very switchable, smart guy, gets it, wants to do well, and he showed signs that he's going to do well this season. The same cannot be said for the guy who is quickly becoming known as the other Troy, Troy Daniels. Who would have thought between Troy Williams and Troy Daniels that it would be Troy Williams who is in line to get a lot of playing time, and Daniels is very much in line to be the 15th man on the roster. But after a preseason where he was horrible, he's going to get himself a big fat F, Troy Daniels. All you can say is that he can't get any worse. So presumably, if you play him in the regular season, he's got to get better. I mean, the man was beyond belief bad. He hit one shot outside of the restricted area. One. It's hard to even come up with a word. When he was out there for extended minutes in that Houston game, you thought, okay, maybe he's gonna get it. He played sporadically here and there. Maybe this is gonna be the, and he was horrendous. And I think that, you know, David Fizdale kind of at first chalked it up to, well, he wasn't playing with the right units. And, you know, I think Fizdale's quote was like, we know what we have with Troy. We're not worried about him. Well, worry. Because there was nothing to indicate that this guy is going to be able to play at any point in time this year. It's a shame because he came in with good offensive numbers. There's a reason why coaches didn't necessarily go to him all that much, even though he could shoot the basketball. But now coming to the Grizzlies, he wasn't doing anything defensively, and he can't shoot the basketball. Now there's nothing there. Nothing. So unless this was a big mirage and everything's going to be fine in the regular season, and he was just, you know, screwing around and having some fun and playing a big joke on everybody, I just don't see what you can do with him right now. He's not a particularly good defender. He's not. Size is not great for him. If he's not making shots, he has no point. He has no purpose on the floor. Vince Carter, C-. I still think there are roles for Vince to play. I don't see any reason why he should be cut. A lot of people talking about cutting Vince since he has that partially guaranteed contract, but I still think with his size and his shrewdness, he is a tremendous leader off the court. Those are all things that are going to be in Vince's favor. He can still make free throws when he gets the foul line. He can ball handle and can play as the ball handler in pick and roll action. You know, he had a good rapport with Brandon Wright in Dallas. He's shot 33% overall from the field. That's not great either. So I can only go so far in my praise of Vince Carter. That's why he gets a C-, because ultimately he didn't really perform. I just happen to think his role is still important. And he still has something to offer this team, not only off the court, but on the court. One quick thing before we get out of here. Wanted to give you a couple things to take a look at over the weekend. One of them in particular was excellent. Excellent. I thought Rob Mahoney of the crossover, SI.com, and he writes in Sports Illustrated. Rob Mahoney published Friday afternoon or Saturday morning the piece on the Grizzlies. Same new Grizzlies. Can Memphis evolve beyond grit and grind? A lot of it is stuff that we have talked about here on the podcast, but some of it is really buffeted by some nice quotes and some good thoughts. And I think Rob does a really good job of writing in general, and he talks a lot about some of the challenges on defense, which is stuff that is overlooked sometimes in all the talk about the offense and pace and space and this and that and the other. But what Fizdale wants them to do defensively is every bit as different, maybe more so, and maybe more shocking for these guys. Switching, much more activity, not going under pick and rolls anymore. All these things that they have gotten used to doing, they don't do anymore. They don't use the same terminology. All these things are different, and it's been a shock to the system. There's some good info on that, on Mark as well, and Mike Conley. There's all kinds of good stuff. So, again, I would say check it out, SI.com, the crossover. If you have not read it, it is a piece that is definitely worth reading. I think also the piece that is worth reading from Friday as well, Zach Lowe's annual Tiers of the NBA, is definitely worth checking out, including the Grizzlies not making the playoffs. Yikes. He admits that it is difficult for him to put the Grizzlies in that spot, not making the playoffs, but He talks a lot about the West and the back and the bottom part of the West and the Grizzlies' possibility of injuries, and it's all very legitimate stuff that you have to take into consideration when you're preparing to predict what this team is going to do. So it's worth reading, though, and Zach does, I mean, you know, if you're listening to this, I think the odds are if you're listening to this, you also read Zach, so I don't really need to tell you too much more about that. Also, previews coming up, and I thought the full NBA preview from Chris Harrington on my colleague over at the Commercial Appeal is definitely worth checking out. If you've not seen that, it is well done, as always. Go through and read that if you have not. And I would imagine there's going to be quite a bit of good preview work from Ron Tillery, from Chris, everyone over at the Commercial Appeal. So check that out coming up this week. Thank you once again for joining me here on Locked On Grizzlies, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Follow me on Twitter at Peter Edmiston. Check me out every morning, 7 to 10. Wolo and Peter in the morning, Real Sports Talk, Sports 56, 87.7 FM. Read me in the Commercial Appeal in the Numbers Game each and every week. And, of course, please subscribe and review. I would love it and really appreciate it if you would do that. Until next time, thank you so much. You have been Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily podcast on the Memphis Grizzlies. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.